Known as Mahatma, which means great soul, Gandhi advocated nonviolence in his fight for independence and civil rights for the people of India. Both the secret for manifesting what you desire into your life and the mysteries of quantum physics are partially revealed in these brief words of Mohandas Gandhi. He says, "Strength of numbers is the delight of the timid, the valiant in spirit, glory in fighting alone." This is clearer when we consider that we can divide the universe of our personal experience into the seen and the unseen, or the material and the spiritual. The world of the seen is what we experience with our senses. It is this world that we are most interested in when it comes to having the things we desire. But where do things come from? How does this so-called reality manifest? Quantum physicists searched for the answer to that question, and I contend that the first quantum physicist was not Niels Bohr or Einstein, but the author of most of the New Testament, St. Paul. In the words of St. Paul, "That which is seen hath not come from that which doth appear." It seems to me that St. Paul stated precisely what contemporary quantum physicists have concluded. Particles themselves are not responsible for their own creation. Quantum mechanics involves studying matter, the material world, at the tiniest level, while looking for the source of our physical world. The conclusion is that the world of the seen comes from the world of the unseen. So how does all of this relate to Gandhi's viewpoint of the valiant in spirit fighting alone? Listen on. The two divisions of our one reality are ego and spirit. Ego is often described as standing for Earth Guide only, because one cannot create or manifest from the dimension of ego, and the unseen world is called spirit. Particles, the material itself, are not responsible for their own creation. To manifest your dreams, you must be free from your ego. Ego is nothing more than an idea you carry around that insists you are separate and in competition with others, and also separate from God or your source. As long as you believe yourself to be separate from everyone and from your source, you lose the power of your source. When you reconnect to your source, or make conscious contact with the unseen spirit, you regain the power of your source. This means you regain the power to manifest, to heal, and to attract what you desire into your life. However, even reconnected to source, ego wants to be involved. The moment that you begin to tell others about what you desire, and how you're going to create the kind of life you know is your personal destiny, you invite ego. As you begin explaining your radical ideas, you will be asked to defend yourself. Then you will feel the need to argue about how this fits or fails to fit into the perception of those you are talking to. And most debilitating of all, you will be expected to listen to the logic of those you choose to share your dreams with as they tell you to get real and look around at the circumstances of your life. Once the ego becomes involved, you literally lose the ability to create what your heart tells you is your destiny. Thus, by sharing your innermost desire, you seek out the strength of numbers, which Gandhi says is the delight of the timid. Make no mistake about it. The timid do not manifest their own dreams. They join the ranks of the unfulfilled. By fighting alone for what you know to be your destiny, regardless of what others say, you become the valiant in spirit who glory in fighting alone. Spirit is the source of all that you see, all that you witness, all that you observe. You can reconnect by avoiding ego's influence. This means specifically keeping your dreams to yourself and sharing them only with God, or whatever you call that invisible source of everything in our material world. Reconnect to that source and regain all of the powers of that source. Invite the ego and you ensure separation from your source. As a young man, I had a vision of creating financial independence. I shared my plan with family and friends. Each time I related how I was going to first pay myself one-fifth of everything I earned before anything was spent elsewhere, I heard all sorts of objections to my financial strategy. I remember being told, "You're out of touch with reality. You can't save 20% of your income, pay taxes, pay your bills, and take care of your family. It's impossible." I defended my plan, explaining how compounding the interest and not touching the principal would lead to living off of the tax-free interest in less than 15 years. But I would become discouraged listening to the experts, in quotes, who were majoring in poverty. I learned to keep my mouth shut and proceed silently. I found that the less I needed to tell others of my vision, the faster my vision began materializing. By removing my dream from the ego state and instead relying on the silent power, I attracted into my life a financial independence that reflected my inner vision. Gandhi's words remind me of that earlier time of my life, and they are a succinctly powerful reminder in today's world. Resist the need to have many people endorse your dreams, and instead be a valiant spirit who glories in trusting your inner guidance. Another way of saying this is less sophisticated, but equally as profound. If you follow the pack, you're going to end up stepping in a lot of what they leave behind.